Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Today on the program, you will hear stories from Brian Lynn, Dorothy Gundy, Mario Ritter, Pete Musto, and Alice Bryant. But first, here is Brian Lynn.
Members of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, or TPP, are seeking to move forward with the trade agreement after the United States withdrew. President Donald Trump signed an executive order Monday pulling the United States out of the TPP. Leaders from some TPP nations pledged Tuesday to make attempts to continue the agreement even without the U.S. Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull said he had discussed the TPP's future with the leaders of Japan, Singapore, and New Zealand. He told reporters that while the U.S. leaving was clearly a big loss, he is hopeful the trade deal will survive. The United States negotiated the TPP under former President Barack Obama. But the deal faced opposition in the U.S. Congress, which never approved the deal. Turnbull added that with America now out of the agreement, certainly there is potential for China to join the TPP. The Obama administration had said one goal of the TPP was to counter China's growing regional influence in the Asia-Pacific. In Beijing, a foreign ministry spokeswoman would not say whether China would now attempt to join the TPP. She said China believes that all nations should keep going down the path of open, inclusive, continuous economic development. In the past, China has proposed an alternative to the TPP, a trade group called the Free Trade Area of the Asia-Pacific, or FTAAP. The foreign ministry spokeswoman said efforts to form the FTAAP should now be increased. China has also supported another group, the Southeast Asian-backed Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, or RCEP. Analysts say other nations may now seek to join alternative trade agreements to take advantage of the U.S. withdrawal from the TPP. Trump's rejection of the TPP was expected. He repeatedly condemned the agreement during his presidential campaign, saying it was not a fair trade deal for America. Trump has said he favors one-on-one agreements with other nations rather than multinational deals like the TPP. Carl Thayer is a political scientist at Australia's University of New South Wales. He said he believes America's withdrawal from the TPP will greatly reduce Washington's influence in the region.
At the moment, it's given away multilateral, so the U.S. has no longer a leadership role using the economic lever in Southeast Asia.
There are 11 remaining TPP members, including Japan, Australia, New Zealand, Singapore, Malaysia, and Vietnam. The others are Canada, Mexico, Chile, Peru, and Brunei. A Malaysian government trade official said the remaining TPP countries would meet in the near future to discuss what steps to take next. The official said there are still many possibilities for the remaining 11 nations to push ahead with the TPP. Last week, Japan's parliament approved the TPP, but Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe has said that without the U.S., it would become meaningless. On Tuesday, Abe told lawmakers during a parliamentary debate he still had hope that Trump might change his position. He said he plans to seek Trump's understanding on the importance of the TPP. Abe added that he plans to meet with Trump as soon as possible. I'm Brian Lynn.
United States officials are studying a possible move of the U.S. Embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. That information came this week from Sean Spicer, the spokesman for new President Donald Trump. Although Trump has said he wants to move the embassy to Jerusalem, Spicer said a final decision has not yet been made. Israeli officials have argued that the embassy belongs in Jerusalem because it is the country's capital. But the Palestinian Authority hopes to make East Jerusalem as its capital in a future Palestinian state. Palestinian officials oppose any effort to move the U.S. Embassy in Israel to Jerusalem, as do many countries. The Islamic militant group Hamas warned on Tuesday that moving the embassy to Jerusalem could result in violence. In a statement, Hamas said such a move would open a new chapter of conflict and add fuel to the fire. On Tuesday, Israel announced approval of 2,500 new homes for settlers in the Israeli-occupied West Bank. Defense Minister Avigdor Lieberman said the new settlement homes are in response to housing needs. Nabil Abordena works for the Palestinian Authority and speaks for its president, Mahmoud Abbas. He said the new housing disregards international opposition to the settlements. He called on world leaders to take a real and serious position against Israel. On Monday, the Associated Press and other news media reported that the Obama administration released $221 million to the Palestinian Authority last week. Some members of Congress had been blocking the release. They were unhappy with the Palestinian Authority seeking to join international organizations. Israeli and Palestinian representatives have spent years talking about a possible two-state agreement. Under the plan, the Palestinians would be given statehood in return for recognizing Israel's right to exist. But those negotiations resulted in failure. Many U.S. administrations tried and failed to bring the two sides together. That includes the Obama administration. John Kerry served as President Barack Obama's Secretary of State. Kerry said last month that increased settlements in Jerusalem made a peace agreement difficult. Trump named lawyer David Friedman as the new U.S. ambassador to Israel. Jerusalem Mayor Nir Barkat said he hopes the Trump administration will be more supportive of settlements than the Obama administration. I'm Dorothy Gundy.
Britain's Supreme Court says Parliament must approve plans to start the British withdrawal from the European Union. The ruling comes the same week that British Prime Minister Theresa May is to visit the United States. She will be the first world leader to meet with newly inaugurated President Donald Trump. The High Court ruled that the Prime Minister must consult Parliament to begin the withdrawal process. Supreme Court President David Neuberger announced the decision on Tuesday. The court ruled 8-3 that May cannot invoke Article 50 of the Treaty of Lisbon by herself. The treaty is the agreement that sets rules for agencies that govern the EU. Putting that article into effect officially begins the withdrawal process, which is expected to take 2 years. The withdrawal has been called Brexit, short for the words British and exit. May had argued that, as Prime Minister, she had the powers to start the process. The High Court said Parliament must approve the Brexit measure because withdrawing from the EU would cut off part of British law. It said the move also would change the rights of British citizens. Britain's Attorney General, Jeremy Wright, said the government will follow the ruling and, in his words, do all it can to implement it. Wright said now Brexit was a political issue and not a legal one. Last June, British citizens approved a special referendum to leave the EU in a close vote. May has supported calls for what is being called a hard Brexit, leaving the huge European single market completely. The British government says it wants the nation to trade freely with countries around the world, including China and India. Foreign Secretary Boris Johnson recently visited several cities in India. He said that although Britain is leaving the EU, it is not withdrawing from trade. However, critics say Britain is closing itself off from the world. For example, education is a major British product. But the numbers of students from India in Britain are falling. India blames Britain's visa system. Pratik Dattani is the British director for the Federation of Indian Chambers of Commerce and Industry. He says trade goes both ways.
It's not all one-way traffic that the UK can sell internationally and not bring anything in. There has to be an open policy in terms of allowing immigration.
With Brexit, Britain will have to negotiate a trade deal with India, independent of the EU. Indian officials said they were willing to discuss a deal last week at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. But official talks can take place only after Britain leaves the European Union. Dattani adds that a trade deal could take years to negotiate. He says India and the EU have been negotiating a free trade deal for 7 or 8 years. He says that Britain's concerns have been among the issues slowing the talks. British officials say they will look to the Commonwealth Group of Nations for new trade deals after Brexit. The Commonwealth's more than 50 members are mostly former British colonies. A meeting of Commonwealth heads of government is to take place later this year in London. However, experts say Britain may find it difficult to reach quick trade deals after leaving the EU. Concerns over what Brexit will mean for Britain and the EU continue to affect financial markets around the world. The move would require Britain to renegotiate trade rules with all its trading partners, not only in Europe, but around the world. Trade is expected to be one of the main issues discussed when Theresa May meets with Donald Trump this week. Although it is unclear how long negotiations will take, Trump has said he supports Britain's move. I'm Mario Ritter.
Former President Jimmy Carter says he wants to have a good relationship with President Donald Trump. Carter served a single term as President of the United States. The Democratic Party nominated him as its presidential candidate in 1976. He won the election, but lost when he sought re-election 4 years later. Carter is one of only two presidents in the past 40 years who has served only one term. The other is George H.W. Bush. Carter has lived longer after leaving the White House than any other U.S. president. Trump is the sixth president he has seen take office since the swearing-in of Ronald Reagan in 1981. Carter talks about his Christian beliefs at the Maranatha Baptist Church in the small town of Plains, Georgia, where he lives. On a recent Sunday, Carter said he and his family did not want Donald Trump, a Republican, to become president.
We have 22 voters in our family. None of our family voted for him.
Some former and current Democratic lawmakers did not attend Trump's swearing-in last Friday. President George H.W. Bush was too sick to attend the ceremony. But all the other former presidents, including Jimmy Carter, came to Washington.
I was the only former president for a long time that said he was going, but I felt like we needed to get to know the new president. I think we need to give him support.
Carter spoke to VOA reporter Kane Farabaugh at the Carter Center in Atlanta, Georgia. The former president explained his way of thinking about the country's new leadership.
We want to be helpful to them when they get in office. So we hope that this relationship of supporting President Trump and his new administration will be both beneficial to them and also to help when they think it's appropriate us to reach our goals in those particular areas of the world.
Carter says he can help the Trump administration by sharing information gathered at Carter Center events. When he was president, Carter helped Israel and Egypt agree to end their disputes. The 1978 Camp David Accords were the first permanent peace agreement between the two countries. Carter says he hopes Trump will work to end conflict between Israel and the Palestinians.
We've had a full-time office in Jerusalem and in Ramallah in the West Bank, and also in Gaza now for 35 years. And we have a lot of inside information of what's going on inside the boundary of what we call the Holy Land. And I want to share that information with them.
Carter was elected in 1976, a time when the United States was recovering from the scandals of the administration of Richard Nixon. Many Americans were angry with the government, as they are now. They voted for Carter. Like Trump, he had never served in the federal government. In fact, while Carter served one term as governor of Georgia, Trump had never campaigned for political office until he ran for president. I'm Pete Musto.
Soy Seng Lim credits a French journalist he met in 2000 for his interest in photography. Since 2012, the Cambodian man has used his love of photography for a good cause, protecting wildlife. As more and more animal species began to disappear from Kandal province, he grew worried. So, he created a photo project he hopes will bring more attention to the loss of natural habitat in Cambodia. Now 35 years old, Soy Seng Lim carefully documents each species he photographs. He records the common name of each creature, its scientific name and identifying qualities, and whether or not the species is endangered. He hopes to educate Cambodians about the importance of bird species and the effect development has on nature. The biggest issue is damage to habitat and poaching. Besides that, it is due to demand from the rich who desire wild meat and who consider wild meat chemical-free, he told VOA. The giant ibis is Cambodia's national bird. It is considered critically endangered, with its population increasing and decreasing every year, he said. His photography work has showed him how lack of education and law enforcement makes the problem worse. Hunting is at the root of Cambodian culture, he said. But he notes that centuries ago, there were more animals and less people. Educating Cambodians about the need for saving natural resources is very important to Soy Seng Lim. Education is very limited, he said. And in terms of legal enforcement, only one organization is standing out, and that is the Wildlife Alliance. He noted that the group has carried out a number of successful crackdowns against hunting. But there are few major campaigns on wildlife hunting as a whole, he said. Chit Sam At is executive director of the World Wildlife Fund, or WWF, office in Cambodia. The group works to protect wildlife and their habitats around the world. Chit Sam At said land sales and development are partly responsible for a sharp drop in the number of trees. Forests are home to many bird species. Protected areas within forests have disappeared at the same rate as forests in other parts of the country. The environmental protection group, Fauna and Flora International, says poaching and hunting have led to loss of animal and plant species in Cambodia. Between 2001 and 2014, the yearly rate of forest loss in Cambodia was the highest in the world, the group said. The rate increased 14.4% during that period. Flora and Fauna International noted almost 60% of the country was forested in 2009, but it fell to 48% by 2014. Recently, Prime Minister Hun Sen approved an increase in the number of rangers to guard forests and parks, Chit Sam At noted. The increased security is part of an effort to stop poaching and destruction of forests. But like Soi Sang Lim, the World Wildlife Fund official, said, lack of education about wildlife leads to careless hunting by people. He also called for an end to the wild meat trade. I think we should improve education among the people to make them understand more and love wildlife, Chit Sam At said. I want to call on the people that it is time to help protect the wildlife in our nation. Chanta Nasak is a wildlife expert with Fauna and Flora International. He said the group is still carrying out a study of endangered and non-endangered species in Cambodia. But without the right protections, the wildlife face great risks. Through research by non-governmental organizations, or NGOs, and other groups, we have recorded a huge number of wildlife in Cambodia, he said. The number of endangered species, such as elephants, can face further decreases if there are no protective measures taken. To Chanta Nasak, damage to wildlife habitats is the main reason for the decrease in the number of wild animals. He said destruction of forests and use of land for agricultural and other purposes are the biggest threats, as well as climate change. However, there are already agreements between some NGOs and the Cambodian government to help wild species. Also, Chanta Nasak said some communities are working together to protect wildlife around the country. All Cambodian citizens should join hands in the protection of wildlife, not just the NGOs and the government, he said. It should be everyone. Soi Sang Lim is working on a book on 100 bird species from among the 400 species he has photographed. He hopes to publish the book in early 2018. He says he looks forward to teaching in high schools and colleges to influence a new generation of nature lovers. I'm Alice Bryant.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.